Hi, I'm David Kaplan, and you're listening to the Sports Talk Live podcast. Enjoy the show. It's a Chevy Power Play. Now get over $8,600 total savings on a 2018 Chevy Silverado 1500 Crew Cab LT, plus an additional $2,500 in competitive owner cash. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and score.
Michael Kopech gets the ball tonight. You know what that means. Rain in the forecast, a guaranteed rain via White Sox and Tigers. Weather permitting, we have it for you here on NBC Sports Chicago. Jason Benetti, Steve Stone have the baseball call and the five-day forecast at 7 on NBC Sports Chicago. Sports Talk Live's on location at Shy Sox Bar and Grill, right outside Guaranteed Rate Field across 35th Street. It's White Sox Authentic Fan Night. Make sure to share your White Sox fandom using the hashtag AuthenticFan. Your photos might be shown during tonight's game. We'll get the festivities started right now. And good evening. Welcome in to Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. I'm David Kaplan. We're right here at the Shy Sox Bar and Grill, across the street from Guaranteed Rate Field. White Sox and Tigers coming up a little later here on NBC Sports Chicago. To my left, the World Series winning manager, our guy, he is Ozzie Guillen. Adam Hogue from the White Sox Radio Network at WGN. Scott Merkin from MLB.com. All right, we got to talk about Michael Kopech. What is your take on this kid? Because he's got a 100-mile-an-hour fastball. How do you develop more than that so that you can be the front guy on a rotation?
The one thing I love about this kid is his attitude. He can have anything out, like everybody out in this game right now. Everybody throw 90-plus, 98, 99. I think this kid's attitude reminds me a little bit about Jack McDowell. No cocky, but confidence. That's one thing about I love it, and I think this kid's going to be a number one maybe next year. Why not? Because when you give the ball to somebody in big games, I think this kid in that rotation is a kid with a big heart and big brains to go and take the ball for them.
I love that this year he figured out how to dial it back a little bit with that amazing fastball he has and realize that the great pitchers in baseball, you can bring that out in certain situations. You don't have to come out roaring, throwing that all the time. And that's when he turned a corner this season. And so far, that's what we've seen. It's not a huge sample size, obviously. The rain's been a problem. But I like what I've seen so far.
First of all, I got to say, with Gardy inside and Ozzie sitting right here, I feel like it's 2008 again. We're back in
the Piranhas manager.
The blackout game. What a great year that was. But I think Kopech is a maturity thing, too. You know, we talked – Dustin Garneau was up real briefly with the White Sox this year, and he talked about that game that Kopech had where he lasted three innings and – had a few walks and had a little bit of a disagreement with the umpire, and they talked to him and said, you know, you got to tone it down a little bit. And I think he's just grown as a person and as a pitcher this year. And I like the fact that he's attacking the strike zone and not walking anyone so far.
In terms of looking at a guy like Michael Kopech, how hard do you push him the rest of the way? Because White Sox fans want to see him facing the Cubs here at Guaranteed Rate. They want to continue to watch this. Do you dial him back or let him go?
I just be honest all my life. That's my problem. I hope he pitched two innings and start ringing again. This rain for 15 minutes, can come back and play, because I want to save the bullet from this kid for next year and the future. Not right now. I think we are all excited. I say we because I'm a White Sox fan. I think everybody in Chicago like to see, in the South Side, want to see this kid pitch. It's obviously, we want to see him on the mound. But in the meanwhile, I think they know what they have. I think the people know what the kid can bring to the table. I think just make sure you rest those bullets for next year and the years to come. It's nice to see him back here, yes. It's nice to see him pitch every day, you know, every 5 days, yes. But hopefully he can pitch at the Cubs and shut it down and keep moving.
There you go. Yeah.
I'm interested to see tonight,
though. Shut it down first.
Yeah, because he's already faced the Tigers, so now these guys have seen him before. And that's the one downside to the rain that we've had is he hasn't really been around, seen the second time around the order, the third time around the order yet. So the fact that the Tigers have actually played against him already, this will give us an opportunity tonight to see how do they adjust to him and can he adjust back.
But I agree with Ozzie. I think, you know, he's approaching his career high for innings. He's going to go over that, obviously, this year. And I think if I had to guess, I would say he pitches that game against the Cubs and then, you know, get shut down for that last week of the 2018 season.
I was talking to Don Cooper earlier, and he's going to join us on the show later, but I was talking to him, and I said, okay, who makes the decision if catcher puts down number one, he wants the fastball, and the kid standing on the mound goes, I don't want to throw the fastball. Coop wants a fastball, and Ozzie wants a fastball, and the pitcher does it. In the end, whose decision is it what pitch gets thrown?
A pitcher. If you can pitch, you decide what you have to pitch. Don't blame anybody out. You know, sometimes you say, why you throw 3-2 slider when your best pitch is a fastball? But when I was manager, I never get involved. Maybe Coop is a pitching coach, wanted one pitch in particular time, in particular moment. I was out of that. And because, first of all, I know I was smart. When I was a hitter, always look fastball. And it's a tough decision, but obviously the White Sox got a young catching staff. I think Coop is going to be on and help those guys. But meanwhile, I think the pitcher got to make that decision, because that is the one he's going to suffer or have success.
You know, Coop told me when we were talking today, he said, you know, when Mark Burley was here, he never went to a pitcher's meeting. He said he didn't shake off 2 pitches in 10 years. He would just show up and go, okay, you want me to throw that? Just tell me what you want, and I'll throw it where you want it.
I think Sale's sort of like that too, right? I think Chris Sale just goes out there, trusts his stuff. And now Sale's stuff, as Ozzie would agree, is a little better than Mark Burley's was. But I think they just trust what the game plan and trust what the catcher knew and what was set up for him.
It's probably also easier to call the pitches when you have a pitchers like that who are so consistent every single start.
They can repeat their delivery. Yeah. By the way, here's our Ankin Law Sports Talk Live poll question. Will the White Sox be in the hunt for a playoff spot next September? NBCSportsChicago.com/vote and weigh in yes or no. Can they be a playoff team next year? Because you've given away so many bullpen pieces, it's hard to rebuild a bullpen in 1 year.
Wow, we want to. That's why they're shooting for that particular time. He'd be excited. But I think it's too early to say those kids going to be ready just like that. This is not a basketball. This is a baseball. You got 25 to 35 guys in one club ready to go. Look at the Cubs. You know, Cubs got amazing ball club, amazing names. A lot of stars. Look at right now they're fighting to be there. Well, everybody in the American League, in their division, they're doing the same stuff. They rebuild. If they had the stuff to do it, I think so. And I said yesterday, I said last week, if the White Sox in June, July, they are the way they're playing right now, it's going to be fun to watch. But I don't think it's going to be there. Hopefully they will.
Yeah, I think that's a stretch for next year. But I do think they're going to be competitive because of the pitching. And it's a great point you bring up about the bullpen. Except for the fact that as they keep trading all these guys away, half of them to Milwaukee, by the way, they've been bringing up young arms that they think are good, that are part of this thing. Ryan Burr, Ian Hamilton coming up. Jace Fry's already been on the team for a long time this year.
Jose Ruiz yesterday.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of guys here that I think they're expecting to actually be pretty good next year out of that pen.
It's different to pitch in games where you're 30 out or up the track.
Well, true.
And pitching in high leverage.
And it's about health, too. You know, and then some of these key guys, what kind of step forward does Yoan Moncada make from 18 to 19? Same with Lopez, same with Giolito. You know, all these guys. And, you know, I mean, did anyone think the Cubs were going to compete in 2015?
They
turned it on in that second half and had a ridiculous second half
All right. And
got into the wild card.
But check the ball club.
Right.
They got a couple guys. One win the MVP, another guy.
True.
It's a different thing. I think they had the talent is out there. Hopefully God helped them to show the talent what they have.
Let's see. We not one Aloy Jimenez question. Not one.
He'll be here next year, April, whatever.
April, whatever. Exactly.
April, like 14th.
Yeah, April, whatever. He'll be here.
You got it. All right, we got to take a timeout. We'll come back. We will have Doug Glanville joining us right here at Chi Sox Bar and Grill next.
Are you an authentic Cubs fan? We want to hear from you every authentic fan night. We designate one winner as the fan of the game, which includes tickets to the game, meet and greets, plus an authentic game day experience. Enter for your chance to win at NBCSportsChicago.com/CubsAF.
Thursday night, come on out and watch Chicago baseball as NBC Sports Chicago hosts a Miller Lite viewing party. Drop by Champion Sports Bar in Plainfield to watch Chicago take on Washington. Pick up some free swag. And welcome back here on Sports Talk Live at the Chi Sox Bar and Grill right across 35th Street from Guaranteed Rate Field. Michael Kopech is going to the bump tonight against the Tigers. Doug Glanville, one of my partners on Cubs Pre-Post, and he's on our Baseball Night Chicago show. He joins us here. Okay, Adam Hogue just brought up the lineup from the Brewers.
Right.
Christian Yelich said he needed the day off. They are three out, playing good baseball the two straight days with wins over the Cubs. I've never heard of anything so ludicrous in my life.
I mean, yeah, we're trying to figure out if there's something else going on.
Could there be an injury?
I mean, you know, this is a huge game. I mean, they're making progress trying to catch the Cubs here. And,
he's their best player.
He was banged up earlier in the season. So, like I said, I'm thinking there's something else at play. But this series is too huge for him to be out.
He would be an MVP candidate right now, right? He'd be on that short list of National League MVP candidates.
He and Jesus Aguilar.
Yeah, for what he's done. But, I mean, maybe, like you said, it probably could be an injury, but – maybe they're looking at big picture that they are, you know, in the playoffs right now, and maybe the one day is better off for the long term. But, yeah, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
Is one day that crucial?
Well,
because he gets tomorrow off and no game.
I know Craig Counsell well. I mean, I just think the idea of this setup ever since the wild card came into play is, like, it's about winning the division. I mean, you want to win this division. So, if you know, you're playing to the wild card, that's a one game – you know, where anything can go. This is why the Cubs are consistently trying to get away from that. So I think that you have to look at it that way. Like, this is too critical, this series.
Yeah, this game, the difference between four back and two back is huge with, I mean, 3 weeks.
24 to go.
You got to play today. I'm just amazed by this.
Okay, so a game like yesterday.
Yeah.
The Cubs lose on a bad decision by Bryant on Monday. Okay, that happens. You lost a tough ball game.
Right.
Yesterday was their worst game of the season.
That's right.
9 walks. They played poor defensively. They just looked awful.
Right.
Can you flush that one that easy? Is that an easier one to flush than a tough loss?
Well, it's easy to flush if you can win the third game and not get swept here. I mean, that's the key. Now the bigger question starts to be, like, what's happening with the bullpen, right? It's a lot of the issues came, or at least like this late inning heroics by the Brewers, and then all of a sudden, you know, after Montgomery came out, the wheels fell off. So now you're like, what's going on? And that puts a bigger spotlight on Morrow being out. And these are the questions they're going to have to answer. And it gets exposed more on the road with that last at-bat, that chance for the Brewers to come back.
Yeah, and I think that's why this game is really big for the Cubs, too. I mean, the Brewers have been playing really good baseball over the last 2 weeks, and they're clearly starting to feel some momentum here. Now, that we always say in baseball, that goes as far as the next day's starting pitcher, right? And so, you know, no matter how bad the Cubs played yesterday and how good the Brewers are playing right now, you have the opportunity to change that tonight, and all of a sudden you win and you're up 4 again, you're feeling pretty good.
Let's not forget, too, the Cubs coming into those two games are playing pretty good baseball themselves. I think the Brewers, even in this good stretch, had gained like a game and a half on the Cubs. And I think, to what Doug said, I think the bullpen issue Monday was more of an issue yesterday. I think a lot of guys who worked for the Cubs yesterday probably aren't going to be on a playoff roster. But, I mean,
correct.
What happened, you know, Edwards is a guy who's, good Lord, pitched in the 10th inning of Game 7 of the World Series, and you got to be able to count on him to protect a one-run lead or a two-run lead late in the game, and you got to throw strikes. That's the key thing. I mean, you get beat, you get hit, that happens. You can't give him these free passes, though, to kind of get a rally going or to force in a run.
The other news is that Joe Maddon told the media a little while ago in Milwaukee, it's running out of time that we're going to get Brandon Morrow back. He's still throwing off flat ground. He still has pain in his bicep, and they don't know if they're going to be able to count on him at all. How devastating a news is that?
That's devastating. That is. I mean, and it seems like it's been coming because everybody's waiting, like, well, when is he going to even just get out there again? And the issue gets more exposed as you look past the winning the division into the postseason, because the playoffs are spread out more, where you can use that closer more often. You know, Mariano Rivera's in every game, seemed like, of the Yankees, because
Morrow last year,
you have these built-in days off. So that's what starts to put a bigger focus on the back end of your bullpen, and that is a glaring weakness now for the Cubs.
Yeah, is it fair to say that they would be going in the playoffs in worse shape than they have the last few seasons?
Oh, 100%.
I mean, exactly. I mean,
but in 16, they really didn't have anyone aside. I mean, Chapman was their bullpen guy, right? They didn't really seem to have trust in Hector Rondon at that point. Strope was coming off an injury. They had Edwards and Montgomery. I think this bullpen's a little deeper, but like Doug said, you know, you shorten the line now. And they don't have a starting staff that consistently goes 6, 7, 8 innings. So it becomes the bullpen becomes that much more important. We're talking off the air, but I think Jesse Chavez could be a huge pickup for them just because he does so much. He's a former starter, a guy who can pitch an inning or pitch two for you in a key game.
It's funny, the acquisitions that they made in the offseason last winter, Chatwood, dismal failure. Right. Darvish, dismal failure and injury on top of it. They really didn't get much out of anything. Brandon Morrow had a nice start.
Right.
He's been gone a lot. And then in season, They pick up a guy with an ERA in his last 30 days of 8, and he's the National League Pitcher of the Month, Cole Hamels. They get Jesse Chavez. They go out and get Daniel Murphy. Like, that was amazing.
You know, with so much of the moves, especially the way Theo Epstein's regime works, is, okay, you see where you are by this deadline, and then you can feel like you have the resources to make the moves you need to make. They were still in the position, still have the best record in the National League to just add these pieces. And if they could, you know, reverse time, I'm sure they would have tried to figure out something on the closer side. But, you know, this team has, you know, didn't work out on, like you said, the offseason, but it worked out really well to make up for that with Daniel Murphy and company.
Cole Hamels has been a huge addition for them, though, hasn't he?
Massive.
I mean, you're right. He was horrible for Texas before he came over. Maybe it was just a case. And I know all players are into the game and to what they're doing, but there's probably, and Doug can speak, this is a different atmosphere when you're playing for a playoff berth, when you're playing for a team that's been to the LCS for 3 straight years, as opposed to a team that's 16 games under 500 and not going to go anywhere. And he's been, you know, I know people joked like, oh, this would be great if it was 08 when they got him. But he's been phenomenal. He's been the best pitcher they've had since they got him over here.
And yeah. None of you mentioned David Bote.
He's been such
it's
a great
unbelievable. Where'd
moments.
He come from? Yep. It's crazy.
So if I said to you that they had to put their best lineup on the field.
Ooh, yeah. Well, I've got to think. Chris Bryant in left field. I mean, that's probably where he started, at least on the lefty-righty with Schwarber. So, but they'll do anything. But these guys are prepared to be versatile. That is a strength of theirs all the years that they've been prepped under Joe Maddon.
All right. We'll see how things go. I mean, it's going to be quite a festive atmosphere for Milwaukee tonight. Then they come back here next week for 3 more. It's
yes,
going to be
do.
Crazy.
Absolutely.
All right. I'll see you on pre-post tomorrow.
All right, Dave.
All right. Guys, thank you. We'll take a timeout. We'll come right back. Up next, Don Cooper joins me, the White Sox pitching coach. We had a nice chat earlier, and now I'll get a chance to interview him and see if he wants to share some of the stuff we talked about. Pretty interesting stuff. We'll be right back.
If you love baseball, you can't miss NBC Sports Chicago's newest show, Baseball Night in Chicago. Between Ozzie Guillen, Doug Glanville, Bill Melton, David DeJesus, there's never a dull moment. For complete listings and guest information, visit NBCSportsChicago.com/Baseball Night in Chicago.
Are you a White Sox authentic fan? We want to hear about your unique Sox stories and experiences. Share them with us for a chance to become our next authentic fan of the game. Enter at NBCSportsChicago.com/WhiteSoxAF. And we welcome to the program here on Sports Talk Live, Don Cooper, the longtime White Sox pitching coach. Coop, I have to ask you what it's like to go into a season where you know what the game plan is, that it's a rebuild, but you've got some nice pieces here. Lucas Giolito, now Michael Kopech here. More on the way. What is it like trying to train some young kids who have never performed at this level before?
We've been doing it for a long time. I mean, we had Sale, we had Burley, we had Garland, we had Quintana. Yeah, I mean, it's been going on for quite a long time. This isn't new. But, you know, knowing that this was going to be a very difficult season for us, the most difficult part of the rebuild, it can be trying at times, but, you know, we're enjoying the process, meaning I'm enjoying all of the sidelines, all of the things we're working on, all the things that we're talking about, trying to put deposits in the bank for the future to build up interest, you know, and get them ready for when we are ready to win.
So when you have a guy, and let's use Michael Kopech as an example, who can touch 101, 102, 99, and I mean, during a start can sit at 98, 99 comfortably, guys can catch velocity. They can hit velocity today. So how do you get them to mix in their pitches and say, you can't just blow everybody away, you've got to use some off-speed stuff, and it's about location. How do you get them to buy in and get away from velocity?
It's not a problem buying in, because everybody knows that you've got to throw more than a fastball. You know, but here's what I'll tell you about the fastball. Everybody can hit a fastball at the big league level. You know, it should be one of the main requirements for getting to the big leagues. They can hit a fastball. But there's a certain spot that they don't like the fastball. And if we could put the ball in that spot, we got a pretty good chance of getting them out. Combine that with getting ahead of the count. Combine with that with a good changeup. Combine that with being able to throw your curveball and slider over the plate for strikes. You know, but you still got to go back to, hey, you're trying to throw strike one. Why are you trying to throw strike one? Well, because that's kind of the first part of the formula of success. You look at the top guys in baseball. They're really, really good at throwing strike one. They're really, really good at getting ahead in the count. This is not new. This is not something. This has been forever, you know, and it's going to be forever. But Michael right now is starting the process, or here at least, in the big leagues. He was doing it all in the minor leagues. Now there's no level higher than this. We're trying to get more and more well-located fastballs where he's trying to throw the ball, whether it be down and away to either side or hands to either side or maybe just elevating above. We're working on that every day. We're trying to get more curveballs over the plate consistently, you know, to be able to throw it for a strike or early in the count. Why? Because it's a free pitch to left. If he throws it to a left-hander, 0-0, it's a free pitch 95% of the time. They take it if you have the ability to do that. We're trying to get more sliders, good sliders over the plate, and the changeup as well. You know, we're trying to put together his arsenal. You know, he's got the four pitches. We see them, and we need to see them more on a regular basis, and that's consistency. And how does that come? Through work, through practice. And the only time you can practice it really is sidelines and games.
All right, last one before I let you go. The late Kevin Towers, I had this long discussion with him about building a bullpen. And he said, I went out a couple winters and I bought the most expensive setup guys I could find. I got a high price closer and we were awful. He said, and then a couple years later, I found three guys that were failed starters that were on a scrap heap that nobody wanted, and I had the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. He said, if anyone can ever tell me how you build a bullpen, they can make millions because there is no formula. What do you say to that?
Well, I'm thinking about when we won a championship. You know, Dustin Hermanson was a setup guy, and now he was closer for us. You know, so that's kind of similar to what you're saying. We had Shingo, and we had Polite, you know, but at that time, what made a good bullpen was the starters left little or nothing to the bullpen. You
Correct.
Know what I mean? The starter's job here, to me, is to take the game deep. And a job description, at least here in what with the White Sox, we've always had it. You're going deep in the game. You're taking 6, 7, 8, sometimes 9 innings, leaving little or nothing to the bullpen. You know, a lot of teams will pay closers, you know. All right, and a lot of teams will pay setup guys. You got specialty lefties. I remember winning the LCS against the Angels, and one bullpen guy threw 6 pitches. The rest of the guys completed the games, you know. And I remember doing an interview before the last game, and somebody was asking me, "What are you looking from the bullpen today?" And I said, "Not much. Hopefully, not much." But I believe it starts with the starters.
Coop, thank you very much. That is a wrap for Sports Talk Live, brought to you by the Chevy Silverado. Michael Kopech on the bump tonight for the White Sox, weather permitting. We'll be back at studio tomorrow. Have a wonderful evening. We'll see you tomorrow.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.